The countdown to legalization is on in Oregon. Marijuana for personal use becomes legal on July 1st, 12 days away. But you might have noticed the state legislature and local government still wrestling with some of the finer points of the law and how it will be applied. For one thing, there will be no retail sales on day one and probably not even in year one. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission, OLCC, is in charge of managing marijuana law implementation, and OLCC just rolled out a campaign, Educate Before You Recreate, to let people know what is and is not legal as Oregon becomes part of the legal pot club. Tom Towsley is in public affairs and media relations at OLCC and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I have to believe at this point you have been inundated with questions from the public about what is and is not legal.
You have no idea.
Well, give us some idea.
Well, clearly this is going to be a big deal come July 1. And while the OLCC has no enforcement authority over the home grow personal possession provisions that start on July 1, we felt a certain obligation to let Oregonians know what's permissible and not permissible. Recreational marijuana becomes legal July 1, but there are limits. We want people to know what those limits are. And so we started this education campaign, and if I can get a plug in here real quickly, it's the website is whatslegaloregon.com. The logo is What's Legal, Educate Before You Recreate. And the website is pretty much chapter and verse about what is allowed under Measure 91.
Well, you know, it's interesting though because you're obviously quite correct about the fact that OLCC is meant to regulate the retail part of things, which is still a year away.
Correct.
But is there any agency that other than you that even could have taken the lead on talking about the facets of the recreational use?
No, not really. I'm sort of reminded of the line of soldiers, and the staff sergeant says, volunteers, and everybody takes one step backward, except us. So we're happy to do this. We worked with a Metropolitan Group, a marketing company in Portland that put this ad together. The actual enforcement on July 1 is in large part going to be left to local law enforcement and even to a greater extent to people's own personal responsibility.
You know, I had a question prepared for lower down in the interview, but I feel compelled to bring it up a little higher based on something that was in our news segment at the top of the hour, which is that I can imagine a few people being confused by continued moves by the legislature, and then the one we just heard about is the possibility, however remote, that they might actually allow retail sales through dispensaries on July 1st. How hard is it for you guys at OLCC to keep up with what the legislature is doing?
Well, we're implementing Measure 91 as it was passed by voters. If the legislature makes changes in it, we'll adapt and we'll do the best we can to make that happen. Clearly, July 1 for retail sales would be difficult. The licensing process would be complicated. There would be no ability to collect a tax. If that's what they do, that's what they do, and we'll do our best to make it happen.
All right. So at this point, it would be difficult, but you don't know for sure if anything will be different from what we're already expecting to happen on July 1st?
That's our premise today.
Okay.
Yes.
So when you were saying you have no idea about how much contact there's been, is there an actual number of people who've contacted OLCC with questions about?
We have our own internal website, marijuana.oregon.gov. That's received, you know, tens of thousands, if not more, hits over the last 6 months. We have a listserv of over, you know, 16,000 people. A lot of the calls that we've received lately have been from people such as yourself in the media, also just regular citizens with questions about what they can and can't do on July 1.
Are you getting a lot of just the web hits? You're getting email contacts? You're getting phone calls? You're getting all of the above?
All of the above. Hmm.
And what's the most commonly asked question, Tom?
What's public and what's private? Mm-hmm. What do you mean I can't take it across state lines? It's already legal in Washington. There's questions about landlord-tenant law. There's questions about protecting children. There's questions about employment law. They pretty much run the gamut.
Okay, so let's take on those first two anyway. State lines. So even though marijuana legal in Oregon, legal in Washington as of July 1st, legal in Oregon July 1st, obviously, can't take it from one state into the other?
This is a complicated issue, and I'll admit that this may be one of those issues that defies the common sense test. But here's why it is the way it is the federal government still considers marijuana to be a Schedule I drug, and in a concession to those states that have made marijuana legal, the U.S. Department of Justice wrote something that's called the Cole Memorandum. And what it does, it sets down the guidelines for states that have legalized marijuana, that if you do these things, we'll stay out of your kitchen. And one of those is making sure that the marijuana in your state doesn't leak into the state next door. I don't believe the Cole Memorandum ever anticipated contiguous states having legalized marijuana, but we're going to adhere to that Cole Memorandum as closely as possible to avoid running afoul of the continued belief by the federal government that marijuana is a Schedule I drug.
All right, so crossing a state line makes it a federal issue, an interstate issue again.
Correct.
Tom Towsley is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange in Public Affairs and Media Relations at OLCC, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. We are talking about the Educate Before You Recreate campaign, which has been rolled out to let people know what is and is not allowed as of July 1st when marijuana goes legal for recreational use in the state of Oregon. You may have questions. We would like to hear from you. 800-838-3760 around the region. 800-838-3760. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Okay, so you also mentioned landlord-tenant law, and I noticed that particular reference in the OLCC materials, that there'll be no change to landlord-tenant law, which I assume means that a landlord can say, we don't want smokers here, and that would mean smoking anything.
Correct.
All right, so that's where it lays. All right, so what is the legal age to use it is what, 21?
21.
All right. And it can be used where?
In private. Cannot be used in public.
All right. So now, here's we get into the definition of public spaces because
right,
you
right.
know.
And you know, it's not going to be the OLCC's job to define what is a large area of law about what is private and what is public. There's a definition in the ballot measure that is somewhat vague, but here's sort of my rule. You can call it the Towsley rule if you like.
All right.
It's if you have questions about whether you're in public, you probably are.
It's that simple. So if you're around other people and not separated by walls or curtains or something of a house, you're probably in a public place.
That would be a safe assumption. Now, over time, law enforcement and the courts and people's own personal responsibility will help define that. But, we're clearly, if you read Measure 91, these provisions of the law are intended to have marijuana consumption be a private and personal activity.
Does it have to be behind walls, behind closed doors?
You can be in your backyard.
Okay, now what about your front porch, though? And
Well, that's one of those areas where, it starts to get gray. If you're sitting on your front porch and people are walking by your on the sidewalk, are you in public or you're in private? That's going to be left up to people's personal interpretation. I mean, how important is it to you to sit on your front porch and smoke pot? If it's really important to you, then you're going to do it. If it's not important, then you're going to go to the back porch. It's just one of those gray areas that will be determined over time.
And, Tom, how much can people possess as of July 1st?
You can have 8 ounces of usable marijuana in your house, and you can have 1 ounce of usable marijuana on your person.
Usable meaning what?
Smokable.
Meaning what? For those
dried.
Of us who don't know.
Dried.
Dried, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Are you answering a lot of questions about the agriculture of marijuana? Are you getting a lot of those in, too, from people who want to know how to do it? Honestly, because
we're quick to point out that we are not horticulturalists. We're liquor regulators who have taken over regulating marijuana. No, I get those questions, but I have to beg off. I have no luck growing much of anything, and so I'm not the best person to be answering questions about horticulture.
All right, so 8 ounces of usable marijuana in your home and 1 ounce usable on your person?
Correct.
All right, and how much can you grow at any given time?
Four plants.
That could make for some interesting transition zones, I'm thinking. When you're in the process of turning the plants into something usable, you might accidentally have a little more than 8 ounces around.
Correct. So, there's a number of things that you can do with that. You can maybe not plant all four plants at one time. You maybe not harvest all at one time. If you end up with more than 8 ounces, then there's a couple of things that you can do with it. You can give it to your friends, or you can use it.
Is the giving it to the friends make it a transaction of some kind?
No, not you can't sell it. You can give it away, but you can't sell it.
All right. Let's take some calls here. Gordon and Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Tom Towsley from the OLCC. We're talking about educate before you recreate at whatslegaloregon.com. Go ahead, Gordon.
Good morning. Thank you for the subject. I got in late, and I'm not sure if this has been addressed, but I was reading the other day and found that the definition of driving under the influence for marijuana in Oregon is any detectable amount via any test. And I believe via blood testing, it's I may have these confused. One of them can detect within a week of use, and another can detect within 3 months of use, which basically means that anyone on the, for example, whether recreational or medical marijuana, who has a traffic accident and is tested, can be considered driving under the influence for 3 months after the last time a marijuana was consumed. I wonder if that's something that's been addressed previously, or if it says something is going to be addressed in this program. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Gordon. Appreciate it.
Driving while impaired continues to be illegal. The law enforcement has been able to detect impaired drivers for a lot longer than I can remember, and they will continue to do so in the future. Having marijuana in your bloodstream 3 months after you smoked it doesn't necessarily mean that you're impaired. But the important thing here is for people to be responsible and do the right thing. Nothing in Measure 91 changes current law regarding driving impaired. Gordon's question is probably best addressed to law enforcement and how they're going to treat this July 1st.
There was some discussion, I recall, when Washington legalized about what the standards would be for impairment. To your knowledge, is Measure 91 a little clearer in Oregon's case?
I'm not that familiar with the Washington law. Gordon's right. Everything he said about marijuana in the system he's spot on with that. There's no test. There's no breathalyzer for marijuana that I know of. So I think the real question is going to be how many new users will there be when marijuana becomes legal and more readily available than it is today, and how many people will smoke and drive, and how vigorous and diligent police will be in looking for those people. I think there was a spike in the number of traffic stops after Measure 1 passed in Washington. I would anticipate the same thing happening here.
All right, so you can't drive under the influence, and as far as possession of it in your vehicle, it's the same set of standards. You can you can have 1 ounce dried on your person, but what about in your car?
Yeah, you can have 1 ounce in your car.
All right, but no more than that. I mean, it's not like not like the 8 ounces in your home. Okay.
Right.
Tom Towsley is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange from the OLCC. We're talking about marijuana legalization in Oregon coming in 12 days. What'slegaloregon.com is the site. No apostrophe. What'slegaloregon.com.
Thank you.
You can join
for
us
that.
On the exchange. Sure. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. What about possessing other forms of marijuana at this point? You know, edibles, brownies, candies, any of that stuff?
You can possess marijuana products. You can have brownies, cookies. The law prohibits the use of chemical extraction. Non-chemical extraction to make other products out of marijuana is legal, but things like butane extraction and chemical extraction like that is illegal.
But if you're cooking up stuff, for example, making brownies with it, butter doesn't make it a chemical extraction, right?
No.
All right.
That's correct.
I have a question from Brad in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Tom Towsley from OLCC.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the service, too. I was wondering about the definition of private again. If I have a friend in my house and we share marijuana, that's considered private, and I would assume, and similarly a party.
Correct. That's,
okay.
If you're in your home is private.
How about in a private establishment, like, say, a bar that's owned by someone who's... it's his place. I guess I'm moving towards stopping the barring of it being used in bars. I think it would be better if people had access to it at the bar instead of on the way to the bar.
Yeah. Right now, that would probably be illegal. It's an area of law that's going to be open to interpretation. The way that the OLCC is moving is that if a bar owner allows marijuana to be consumed on his property, which is considered by us to be public, then there's a risk of sanctions against his liquor license. So that's an area that's not gray, but it's. We consider bars and taverns to be public.
All right. I can see where you get into some real nuances here because I don't know if Brad was suggesting this directly, but I started thinking about whether the bar is closed to the public for a private party. Does that change the definition of whether it's public or private space?
That's one of those areas that's going to be, have to be interpreted over time. If you have there's an event that's going to take place here in Portland in a couple of weeks, in which they're charging a fee. It's on public property, but it's fenced off. They're charging a fee to get in, and they're giving away small amounts of marijuana inside. But they can't. Nobody can smoke it there.
Hmm.
So as you can see, these issues get down to a finer and finer point, and over time we're just going to have to figure out what's legal, what isn't, what's right, what's wrong, what's good, and what's bad.
I can see too where and I'm not trying to give anybody any ideas here, but if you're driving around and you have 2 pounds of brownies in your car, but they only have an ounce of usable marijuana in them. I mean, these are some pretty tough areas, I would think, for law enforcement to try to figure out.
Correct. I agree. And it's going to probably be interpreted differently in different parts of the state, depending on community values and how vigorous law enforcement wants to do this.
Let me bring Gordon back in. He's got a follow-up on his DUII question. Gordon from Eugene, back in the exchange. Go ahead.
No, thank you very much. I'd like to hone in on this a little bit closer.
under for a consumer of alcohol, you can have a breathalyzer test or a blood test, right, under the law, and there is a certain standard above which you are considered automatically to be impaired, regardless of whether how you were driving on the road. With marijuana, the situation is very different. Under current law in Oregon, the presence of any metabolite of marijuana in the bloodstream or in urine is itself evidence of impairment. And so with the fact that the tests can detect marijuana in the bloodstream up to 3 months after ingestion, you could smoke on the first day that it's legal, and on the 1st of September, if you're in an auto accident and your blood is tested, you are, under current law, driving under the influence and you're responsible for the accident. Right. This is a really big problem in the law, and has been so for medical marijuana users for years. The law has not changed with regard to this. So, once again, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Gordon. Appreciate it. Tom, anything to add to that?
No. He's probably absolutely right.
All right. So let's see, another question here about where can you grow marijuana on your property? I mean, I probably don't think you'd want it out there in the front garden with the sunflowers and stuff.
No, but it's out of public view.
All right. And then another question here about generally how things are going with you folks at the OLCC in the process of setting up the retail end of things for a year from now.
Well, let's start with the presumption that Measure 91 is going to be implemented as it was approved by voters, and set aside the issue of what, if anything, the legislature is going to do in the next couple of weeks. We are in the process right now of writing the rules necessary to implement Measure 91. Those rules will be written through the summer and into the fall. The full commission will adopt those rules later on this year. Under the provisions of Measure 91, we are required to begin accepting license applications on January 4th, and that would be for the four existing licenses in Measure 91. That would be retailers, growers, processors, and wholesalers. We'll issue the first licenses sometime after that, because there has to be some review and investigation, and then we'll probably issue the first licenses to growers for obvious mm-hmm. reasons, and anticipate retail stores opening in the third quarter of 2016.
All right. So a while before we get to the retail end of things, the consumer use, the personal use coming up July 1st. You can find out more at the Educate Before You Recreate campaign, whatslegaloregon.com. Tom Towsley from OLCC, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
And that'll do it for this hour of the Exchange.